25 years ago tonight, I was not where I thought I would be, or at least not where I had planned to be on Christmas Eve. My husband Scott and I had been at the Christmas Eve service, but had ended up leaving early. I had started having contractions. So after getting our two-year-old home with my mother-in-law, we headed off to the hospital. Kaiser Walnut Creek Labor and Delivery is very quiet on Christmas Eve. You get lots of attention. And as the night turned from Christmas Eve to Christmas morning, my contractions had stalled. So the nurses suggested that I walk up and down the halls to see if I could make something happen. So up and down the halls I waddled, singing all the Christmas carols that my husband Scott and I could think of. And it was awfully quiet and it was awfully empty. And I think these hours created a deep empathy in me for Mary. You see, when you are that close to giving birth, your body and your mind is full of hormones. And you are trying to keep it all together, but it is really hard. And on that evening, I became obsessed with how I was going to be able to have a birthday party for my child on Christmas Day. Who would come to our house on Christmas Day for a kid's birthday party? How would I get people not to use Christmas wrapping paper for their gifts? And would he hate me forever for giving him a Christmas birthday? When you are exhausted and full of hormones, your body is trying its best to care for two people, your mind tends to go to crazy places. At least these were the places my mind was focused on 25 years ago in the halls of Kaiser Walnut Creek. And so I just wonder about Mary. That night, 25 years ago, she seemed awfully close to me. We were sort of kindred spirits traveling to have our babies, not really wanting this to be the time of our delivery, and yet not really having control over that. And our oh-so-familiar Christmas story, our gospel reading tonight, seems to just sort of touch the surface of this story. There must be so much more that we are not told. The story we hear today is beautiful and it's timeless. Artists throughout the ages have been inspired to create masterpieces of this young, ethereal woman lovingly holding her new baby, which seems to glow with this special holiness. There are often shepherds knelt in front of her, adoring the baby, and sometimes a few angels overhead. Mary is often depicted wearing beautiful robes, often that distinctive blue color of Mary, looking very peaceful. The scene is calm and quiet and seems to just have peace emanating from it. And this is an artist's impression, a creative endeavor to create something from what few words we get from the gospel today. But I think if we look a little bit deeper, perhaps we can find a little more accurate image of this story. Mary and Joseph have been commanded to travel to Bethlehem. I don't know exactly how to equate this into today's world, but perhaps think of it as a demanded work trip, but the consequences for refusing would be far worse than getting fired. There is no allowance for Mary being excused due to the imminent birth of her first child. She is expected to travel with Joseph. And this trip would have been about 90 miles. Biblical scholars have concluded that if Mary and Joseph traveled about 2.5 miles an hour, for about 8 hours a day, it would take them about 4 days to make this trip. But that depended on how Mary might have been feeling, getting ready to give birth, and if she did or did not have a donkey, which biblical scholars are not really sure would help or hinder her travel. Suffice to say, if you're really pregnant, riding a donkey is not going to be very comfortable. So it was a difficult trip for the two of them, and they were commanded to be in Bethlehem to fulfill the Roman emperor's whim of wanting everyone in their hometowns so that he would know how much taxes he could receive from each region. And then we're told that they arrive in Bethlehem and there's no place for them to stay. I do imagine they were probably arriving late that day, but this small line also tells us something else. They did not have any family in Bethlehem. There was no one who was expecting them. There was no one that was offering them hospitality. So they must have had to go and ask several people before they could finally find somewhere that they could rest for the night, some sort of barn or cave to sleep in. And rest was not what was coming for them that night, because Mary's baby was to be born. Mary was away from her family. She was away from her support system. She was in labor with her first child, and I imagine she was scared. She needed to rely on people she had never met before to deliver this baby, and she was exhausted from traveling for 4 or more days. I'm sure this is not how she imagined giving birth to her first child. And this is not a sterile birth in some top-rated hospital that we might be familiar with here in the Bay Area. This was a birth surrounded by strangers, full of blood and fluids and pain. And Mary was scared, and I would imagine perhaps a little bit angry with God, who had asked her to have this baby. And then she would experience that incredible joy that happens when the baby is born healthy and the endorphins would fill her body so she would feel less pain and create those incredible feelings of euphoria. And so Mary, at the time of her first child's birth, would be holding all of these emotions all together at the same time. And I'm sure it felt complicated. Just in the practical, everyday way. She was away from her family with her first child. She was physically exhausted, and the realization that her child was born into a regime that held no value for Jewish people. They were people to be taxed with little rights. They were a small part of a great, huge empire. And this beautiful new baby was born to the song of angels and a magnificent star. Mary must have been feeling all of this, this sadness and this weariness, why also joy and hope and wonder. And this Christmas, it feels especially important to me to acknowledge that we often carry all of these emotions together at the same time. Sadness and grief and weariness, at the same time trying to hang on to joy and hope and wonder. And this holding of all of this is at the heart of Christmas. Many years ago, Mademoiselle Engel wrote a magnificent book called The Glorious Impossible. Her writing offers her reflections on Jesus's life and ministry, and what we are called to be as Christians and followers of Jesus. She writes, "To be a Christian is to believe the impossible. Jesus was God, and Jesus was human. This is what Scripture affirms. Yet theologians and philosophers and ordinary people have been arguing about this for nearly 2,000 years. How could Jesus be both human and divine? That he was both is the basic affirmation of the Christian faith." She goes on to explain that humans can understand science and light particles and the turning of Earth. Why is the incarnation, God coming to Earth in human form, more difficult to believe? She concludes by stating this: "Those wonderful things that are beyond ordinariness, like love, are what makes life worth living." This glorious impossible is that God chose to come to earth and live as a human being. That God chose to limit God's self to be with us. That God chose to be a human that made mistakes, that fumbled, that had to make amends, that felt pain and embarrassment and regret. That God chose to be a human 2,000 years ago, to live in an occupied country under a violent empire without the privileges of being a Roman citizen. That God chose to be a human and live with the ands, the balance of carrying both the joys and the griefs. My adventure 25 years ago ended a bit differently than Mary's. My contractions eventually subsided and I was sent home. Scott and I stumbled into bed about 2 a.m. on that Christmas morning, only to be woken up a few hours later by a very excited two-year-old. Our son was actually born a few days later on December 29th, just a few days later that felt sort of like a second half. And all was good with a healthy delivery and a healthy baby. And this Christmas, I want to offer you a hope for your own glorious impossible. That challenge of being human and attempting to carry the ands that life throws at us. The journey that we are on, which has its peaks and its valleys, and often requires us to live in both realities simultaneously. But the glorious impossible is that God is with us through all of this. That God chose to live a fully human life alongside us, to guide us and teach us how to be humans with compassion and with love. And so we know there is nothing we encounter in our life that Jesus has not already lived through. Particularly, I share God's love with you tonight as a reminder that God's love surpasses all of our understanding. It is the glorious impossible that God has made to us, to be with us until the end of the ages. Amen.